This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance Agent in Litchfield. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light duty towing in Litchfield. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Garrell's Auto Body in Litchfield, and by DC Waste and Recycling. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you so much here on Sports Saturday. Basically, a day removed from one of the best days the IHSA has to offer. You have your 3A and 4A state tournament semifinals yesterday. You had 1A and 2A boys sectional finals. 3A and 4A boys regional finals. Jam-packed night last night across the state. And Terry, you were up in Moquegua for the 1A sectional final between the host Central A&M squad and Nokomis. And at the end of the night, Cam just kind of rained threes.
Yes, they did. They did. They played very well. They got off to a slow start in that first quarter. We're down, I think, 17-8, something like that. And then Carter Sobel came up with his fourth personal foul there in that second quarter, and the momentum switched immediately. And A&M, very good team, quick, and they shot the lights out of the basket. They hit several three-pointers last night. Packed house. It was like the old days, I mean, with people standing at the ends of the gymnasium.
Packed house for the three-point contest.
It was crazy. It was packed in, you know, with 70 minutes before the game time, it was packed. A&M, a very good team, a very young team, a team that's probably going to be reckoned with, have to be reckoned with here in the next two or three years for teams that end up in playing in the regionals and sectionals around here. So Central A&M won it last night, 69-56. I think they made 19 out of 24 free throws. And Nokomis, I think, was 0 for the game, 0-6 ball game from the free throw line.
So when you make double-digit threes, outscore your opponent by 19 at the foul line, and your opponent's best player is in foul trouble, that is not a good recipe.
Not a good recipe.
If you're Nokomis.
Nope, but it was a good recipe for Central A&M, and they put together a pretty good ball game, a pretty good game plan, and they will be heading off to the Super Sectional on Tuesday night at SIU Carbondale. They will take on Goreville in that Super Sectional. Goreville, by the way, defeated, let me see if I can find it here, Cesar Valier, 48-44.
Okay. So the 3A and 4A state girls finals will wrap up today. Our 1A Super Sectionals are set along with our 2A Super Sectionals, which will, of course, take place early next week across the state.
And the Supers at SIU Carbondale at 6, Goreville against Central A&M at the Jacksonville Bowl, which is the only Super Sectional played on a high school-sized court instead of a college-sized court. Peoria Quest against Okawville, and Quest has been very good all year long. At NIU and DeKalb, Providence St. Mel against Sterling Newman, and at ISU, Colfax Ridgeview against Danawan in the 1A Supers, and then in the 2A Supers at SIU Carbondale, Pinckneyville Panthers. There's a name from the past, and Pinckneyville's got a pretty good program rolling along again.
And they, in that sectional, they took care of Nashville with ease, who I was very impressed with them, seeing them in the Staunton Regional. They took care of Westland on their home floor with ease, who was impressed with seeing them in their final regional final against Southwestern. So that's two good teams they essentially just dismantled in the sectional.
Yeah, Pinckneyville gets Mount Carmel at 7:30 on Tuesday night. At UAS Springfield, Deer Creek Mackinac, kind of a surprise team, will take on Bloomington Central Catholic. At DeKalb in the second game, Chicago Corliss against Winnebago, and then Chicago Hope against Chicago Orr at Joliet Catholic. So there you go.
Of course, a week from today, state championships
state
for
championships.
1A and 2A.
Yes, March Madness. America's original March Madness, I guess, is the proper way to say it without being sued by the NCAA. I
mean, we wouldn't want that, because they certainly have nothing else going on.
Oh, I have nothing else going on.
Nothing else going on. It's been smooth sailing for the last few months. No scandals or anything.
Well, maybe just one scandal.
One here or there. Hey, last night in the 3A boys regional finals, upset, I guess, but I don't think we're necessarily surprised, Terry. Alton Marquette goes into the regional unbeaten. They don't get out of the regional. They lost in overtime last night to Columbia in Waterloo. And as the year progressed with Marquette, I mean, they were crushing people. But remember, they were playing a 2A schedule. And if they were in the 2A tournament, they'd still be playing. I don't think there's no question about that. But we wondered, what will happen to them in a 3A regional setting? We found out last night, tight ball game, and they just couldn't get it done.
There's also another overtime game, a 3-overtime game at Washington, where Metamora beat Washington 43-40.
43-40 in 3 overtimes.
You know, and you talk about Alton Marquette playing a two-way schedule, basically, and competing in 3A. Last week, Chicago Mount Carmel, or Chicago Marshall, I should say, won the girls' 3A state championship.
2A.
Or 2A state championship, I should say. But the year before, they decided to play up and compete in the 3A championship. And I heard a comment from Dorothy Gators, who is the all-time winningest coach in Illinois basketball history after 43 years, over, you know, 1,000 wins. And she's been just coaching for forever. And she says, I probably did a disservice to my team moving them up to 3A last year, but, you know, we are where we need to be now. And they won the 2A championship. So it's
a real thing, the quality of opponent. And for Marquette, I mean, they were beating a lot of people. We saw with the Civic Memorial girls this year as well. When you beat people consistently by 30, we saw with the Montalvo girls last year also. When you consistently beat people by 30 or 40, hey, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's great. But if you're beating people by that wide of a margin consistently, it probably means that you could toughen up your schedule a little bit. And for Marquette, when you get into a tight game then, in the postseason when it's one and done, you're talking about situations you haven't experienced all year.
Right, right. Just the additional pressure. Just the fact
game pressure.
Yeah. You can't duplicate it. And I've said for a long time that, you know, shooting free throws with less than 2 minutes to go in a tight ball game and in postseason play is nothing like shooting free throws in the middle of the season. It's just, you can't compare it. It's apple and oranges. So, and Marquette got caught last night. So,
was watching the 4A state tournament yesterday, and Edwardsville was playing, of course, and they lost in the semifinals to Montini, a rematch of last year's semifinals. But the four semifinal teams in 4A, what, the Plains, Maine West, and then Geneva, the defending champs, were the other semifinal. But outside of Edwardsville, they all those teams basically played each other through the year, like, you know, all either one loss, or two loss, but they were all to each other.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the teams that get there generally have played the type of competition in the regular year that they will see in a sectional final type of game or a super sectional matchup.
And when you have teams that come out of the Chicagoland area and the Chicago Public League, you know, that's impressive basketball.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why I watched the Chicago Marshall last week. It's like that. That's just different. Just different.
Yeah. And, you know, and Marshall started out not playing very well at the very beginning and really didn't look very good for most of the ball game. And then in the fourth quarter, kind of got their act together and, you know, made a run and pulled out the win. So
this Edwardsville-Montini game yesterday had six D1 college basketball players.
My gosh.
Four on Montini, two for Edwardsville, and Edwardsville has a D1 volleyball player. So you're talking about seven Division I athletes of the 10 on the floor, and it was a great basketball game. And for Edwardsville, they were so quick. I mean, they were outside. They were so quick. They got so many steals. They held their own on their glass. Remember, they lost the title game on an offensive rebound last year by a point. So they rebounded well last night, but they just couldn't make shots. And as this year went along, and certainly through the postseason, Terry, I just started to think more, you know, basketball has become such a defensive game. Yeah. And rightfully so. You got to play defense to win. Sure. Defense wins championships. We all know the motto. But more and more, they're not making enough shots. I mean, so many games now are lost because they didn't make the shots. They played the defense. Yeah. They did the job on the glass. They didn't turn the ball over. But at the end of the day, they didn't make enough shots.
And there's been concern about not scoring enough points in basketball because, you know, more points generally means more fans. And now that, and one comment I get once in a while is, you know, well, what's different about girls basketball? Well, they all play defense now. You know, girls teams play defense, where at the beginning, 40 years ago, when the state tournament started, it was a whole different type of ball game. Now you're in, you get people that are in your face and a very physical type ball game. Basketball is not a finesse sport anymore. It is a grinded out, in your face kind of sport, and that's just the way it's going to be. I don't know that changing the rules are, could it really affect the fact that more offense is probably needed. I certainly don't think there a shot clock would serve the purpose in high school basketball. I think high school basketball is in pretty good shape. Leave it alone.
To me, there just comes out to making shots.
Practicing.
Practicing your shot. Getting shots up. And consistently being able to put the ball in the hole.
Sure. And that's one thing you can do on your own.
I think it was a 3A regional final last night. It was in Lanphier. I think it was the Lanphier game. 33-19.
33-19, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, my gosh. I mean, we're talking about Springfield Lanphier.
Yeah.
Lanphier, one of the great programs.
But you have Lincoln slowing the pace down.
Right.
Yeah.
But still, you're talking about a lot of, between Lanphier and Lincoln, you're talking about two of the premier programs in the state.
Sure.
Great individual talent. Mm-hmm. Just great programs in general. In 33-19 the final. That game you had earlier, 3 overtimes.
Yeah.
43-40?
Yeah.
In 3 overtimes. That's a football
score. It used to be if you went 3 overtimes, it was 112-110.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Years ago, but that's not the case anymore. It's, like I said, it's just a kind of a non-finesse, grinded out, physical type ball game. Yeah. So.
We're talking about just kind of basketball as a whole here. In the 3A tournament yesterday, Bree Central, of course, has moved up to 3A, and they ran into LaGrange Park Nazareth Academy, a private school.
Yeah.
And Bree's looked like a 2A school on the floor yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, they were just outgunned, basically, in every aspect in that ball game.
And then you're going to see that with teams that are right on the border that move between, 2A, 3A especially. You're going to see teams that get outgunned like that once in a while.
The fact they got to state in 3A is remarkable.
Yeah.
Remarkable. Yeah. And they talked about Nazareth Academy. Their coach came from another private school, and of course, he brought their best player with him, who he described as the best center in the state. So that's always nice, we'll just bring the best center
It's just a good recruiting class,
There you go. Nothing to it. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. Today we're very excited. Coming up on the other side, we're going to talk with the head coach of the 1993 state champions.
That's right. We'll do that right after these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you very much. And we're going to have Randy Legender coming up here on the program in just a few moments. And Terry, we've talked so many times about the 1993 Staunton Bulldogs state championship team, the last true Cinderella. You'll never see it again now with the four-class system, because the four-class system is going nowhere. And what Staunton did in 1993 is an all-time tournament run.
It's such a great story, because outside of our listening area, nobody knew who in the heck Staunton was.
Stanton.
Staunton, yeah. They weren't ranked. There was really no clue. We had a clue that they were pretty good, and of course Verdon was pretty good that year as well. It was just one of the great runs in Illinois basketball history, especially when they beat Hales Franciscan. Just, how it works out, where you've got the Central Illinois team knocking off the Chicago team. So.
Well, I was up there that year, and I remember the state championship game was that afternoon.
Yeah.
Doing Hales Franciscan and Cairo until it wasn't. And joining us on the phone right now is Randy Legender. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. How you doing, Terry?
Doing fine, Randy. Thank you so much for joining us. And it's hard to believe, buddy, it's been 25 years since the Bulldogs were crowned state champions.
Yes. It doesn't seem like it's been 25 years, but I got a confession to make.
Okay.
I've got help here with me.
Yeah. Oh, you do?
Yes.
Who do you have with you?
Mr. Lamore was afraid I wasn't going to mention him.
Okay. Dave.
So he can't. I asked him to come over.
Okay.
I forgot something he'd be able to remember.
Okay. Well, Dave, thanks. Thanks for joining us as well, buddy. It's good to have you along. And I'll be honest with you. Tim Mize is sitting here with me, and we talk basketball frequently. And even when we don't talk basketball, we talk about sports. And somehow, when there's an underdog situation, we always say, "Well, the Bulldogs did it in '93," and you know, starting to this day, the '93 team gets brought up in conversations probably at least once a week here at the radio station. So,
I think that's great.
Yeah, it really is. It really was one of the great sports stories of all times here at WSMI. Can you kind of put into perspective? You know, it was your second season, I think, you were coaching, Randy.
Yeah.
So the year before, did you kind of have an idea that there was a good team?
I think the year before, we were, I think, probably three seniors that played quite a bit.
Yeah.
It was pretty, they were good. They won the county that year.
Yeah.
We didn't do that the next year.
Yeah, but you won the big one, so.
Yeah, I'll take state, I guess.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And of course, you know, a lot of things changed when Ronnie Hampton showed up.
Right. Ronnie came, what, the end of that first year. One of the problems was that their gym, they wouldn't open their gym over in Livingston.
Mm-hmm.
And so his dad came over and said, "Can I bring some kids over and we'll practice with you guys?" And I said, "Sure." Back then, that was legal.
Yeah.
It didn't pan out too good, but because they didn't. I mean, it was tough for them, you know.
Sure.
But they did come over. I don't know what, three or four times.
Yeah.
We didn't. Obviously, back then we didn't practice much in the summer. But they came over, and then Ronnie's dad ended up having a problem over there getting the gym and things like that. So he ended up coming over here that next year.
Randy, we were talking this morning earlier on the show about how in basketball you have to make shots. At the end of the day, you have to make shots. And boy, did your club make some big shots along that magical tournament run. I think specifically to Jeremy May in that super section.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you never know which one's going to do it. I mean, we had a couple, Jeremy, Ronnie and his free throws, and Jeremy with his threes, and Andy with anything Andy wanted to do. You know, we had some kids that could score. And with Ronnie as a point man, I think that helped, because he was very confident. And like I say, his free throw shooting, what did he have? I can't remember. It was like 5 out of 6 or something like that. And he was a great addition.
And Randy, we talk about teams that go to state, and usually there's one game that you kind of get away with, you know, and that was obviously the Bridgeport game in double overtime. But once you won that game and went on to state, what was the confidence level of the Bulldogs playing at state?
I'll be honest with you. I think we were very, very, very confident. Now at the end of the first 3 minutes up at state, I was got my confidence kind of.
You were reaching for the Rolaids, weren't you?
Yeah. Was it 10-0?
But the, you know, first 3 minutes of a ball game does not constitute the whole ball game. So you steadied the ship and things worked out all right. But you know,
I almost didn't want to call that timeout because I didn't know what I was going to say.
I guess, Ray, in that situation, it's a deal where you can't say, "Well, it's just another game," or "I've been here before. This is what to do," because it's all new.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I think.
Did Dave come up with an idea of some sort?
Yeah, this probably will sound stupid to a lot of coaches. I figured I got to loosen them up. I got to have to come up with some kind of a joke or something.
Yeah, it worked. And, it must have been a good joke.
Yeah.
And I told them I was going to give them to Dave, and they decided they'd play harder. He's here so I can say that.
And you know, the tournament run was terrific, and it was marvelous, but you certainly seemed to have, it looked like the Bulldogs had a lot of fun participating in the tournament. You know, some teams get uptight and they don't smile a lot, but that was not the case with Staunton.
Yeah, I think their attitude was great. I'll be honest, can I tell you a little story?
Sure.
Yeah, the day before you get there and you get to practice. What school was it?
Centennial.
Yeah.
Okay, but they got to practice there, but I couldn't go because I had a meeting with all the other coaches. You know, they have that meeting at the same time that we were scheduled to practice. So Dave took them over there. And we got back to the hotel room, and I'm waiting. They're not back yet. I'm thinking, oh, geez. What did Dave do? And you know what he did? This kind of helped smooth things over and kind of really started their kind of getting them down. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But they come in down at the other end, and they bring in Jeremy May. With his shoe off, limping. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm not going to tell you exactly what I said.
I can only imagine, yeah.
Yeah, there's only one cuss word in it.
Yeah.
But I said, what in the heck happened? Well, then the kids, they just kind of just burst out laughing. They just tried to see how red I'd get. But I mean, even that, I mean, that was a great thing to have happen, you know? I mean, I would have, if I would have been Dave and he would have been talking, I would have never thought of that.
Yeah. I'm just curious.
I'm glad they went with him because Dave's loose. We weren't going to teach him anything that night that was going to make the difference in the ball game.
Yeah. Yeah. Back in the old format of the tournament, obviously, if you lost on Friday, you had to go home. So in some ways, that Friday game, that really was a pressure cooker.
Right. Yeah, that was, and like I say, with being the first time, obviously, that anybody had been up there, it was. But I thought our attitude, we were pretty loose and free. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I jotted down a couple things earlier, and we had very few bad practices that year. Our kids came in, they didn't have a real successful football season, and the seniors wanted to make sure that basketball went well. And they were ready. They were, and we had a lot of kids that were really, really smart kids. I mean, I was jotting down a few things earlier, and we had, out of our 12 kids, we had 8 of them go to college, you know,
mm-hmm.
And I got 4 teachers, and now we got a superintendent of school, and we just had some smart kids, and like I say, they never had a bad practice. They get on me more now about our practice than they did then.
Brady, what did you guys do after you won the semifinal game? Because obviously the semifinals and the championship on the same day back in that format. What did the Staunton Bulldogs do before the championship game in that window?
You really didn't have a lot of time. We would, you know, I guess, a lot of people probably went to different places to eat, but we ate the same place all 3 days.
Yeah.
And it was in our hotel. So it was kind of nice. So I let him rest, and you know, things went fine there. And I think they were nervous, but they didn't, you know, it didn't spoil anything. And we went to eat then, and I don't know if you remember, but Bobby Knight's big thing was spaghetti mm-hmm. before a game. Mm-hmm. And I told him I'd pay for it. If you got spaghetti, I'll pay for it. Otherwise, you got to buy your own. And that kind of thing, yeah. You know, I think that kept them light.
Sure, sure.
And I think some of them even did order some spaghetti. I figured Dave talked them into it.
These are the kind of stories that, you know, we really didn't hear right after the state tournament win, and now 25 years later, these stories are wonderful, you know, and it shows how much camaraderie there was on the team. As you were preparing for the state championship game, did you come up with any special words of wisdom, or did you just go out there and say, fellas, let's have some fun playing basketball?
Words of wisdom, that was always Dave's job. I was more, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but Dave gets a little hyper sometimes. So I figured, we practiced one night here, I guess, before we left, and it was very simple practice. Our practices were always the same, basically the same. We did fundamentals the first, hopefully, 15 or 20 minutes, but sometimes it got up to an hour and a half if things didn't go the way we wanted them to. But, and most, like I say, I think the amazing thing was that we were talking about this just a little bit ago. Maybe I said something already, but we had one bad practice, and that we figured out a way to end that, and we ended it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had, at the end, you know, you'd tell kids, if you want to stay and shoot around, we got some time. Everybody would stay, you know. Yeah. It's just that they wanted it. They really did. And, it was a fun group to work with. And I think the JV team and the underclassmen were, I mean, like I say, there's games we played that I think we had more competition in practice than we did in some of the games that we played, because our JV team worked hard, and they were always there, and for parents, we had a lot of parent support. I mean, the parents were great. It was just a family team, you know. And I could look up in the stands and tell you who was up there.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, all the players, and 99%. I mean, obviously, people worked shift work and stuff, but they were there every night, wherever we played. And you know, that gives the kids an incentive too. Yeah. You know,
Dave, while you're there with Randy here, I just wanted to pose a question to you. As you were going along the tournament trail, you know, how much did the kids come to you sometimes instead of going to Randy and ask questions? Sometimes they, you know, kids don't want to be embarrassed, so they don't want to talk to the head coach. They'll go to the JV coach, the assistant coach, and say something to them. And I suspect you probably answered a few questions.
Oh my God, it was a nightly thing. Okay, that's all he wants to say. like throughout the year, there's always a couple things they may not understand. And, you know, my job, and Randy knew that I was, you know, had his back all the time and supported him, and I explained things and they would accept it. And it just worked out very well. Very, very well. Yeah. I can't say enough good things about the quality of the kids we had. That was the key. And the other thing that I might want to mention is while they were back at the hotel on the semifinal game, we scouted Hales and Cairo, and oh my God, I probably had a notebook full of notes on that because it went back and forth. I didn't know who we were going to play so much. What a great ball game that was.
Yeah, it was. It was really a great ball game. And you guys kind of keep in touch with the team, it seems like, these days.
Yeah, we do. We try to get together. You know, with the kids now, a lot of their offspring are playing sports, and it gets a little bit tougher. But for years, we went golfing every summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of got away from that because, well, like I say, they all have families, and so it was kind of, that's more important, being with your family, you know, because, so we haven't done it every year at least once. A lot of times at Christmas, we'll go up to the Carlinville tournament, or something like that, and probably a good two-thirds of them make it to those, and like I say, try to get together every summer or every year during the school year. Christmas is good because Matt, he's teaching in Africa now.
Malaysia.
That's right.
Wow.
This is Popovich.
Matt Popovich. Yeah. And he's in an army type education or facility, but he gets back in the summer. And like I say, Andy, he's living, you know, pretty far away. Jeremy, like I say, there's a lot of kids around this area. But like I say, with families, like I know Ronnie, he's got a couple of daughters, right? And they do a lot of
twin boys.
That's right. I forgot about the boy. But they're involved in all. They go all over and tumbling, I guess.
Yes.
His daughter's a gymnast.
Yeah.
And like all of them, you know, have good families. And like I say, I'm proud of them. I'm still proud of them, you know, because they got their priorities on right.
Rita, that had to be the greatest bus ride in the history of bus rides from Champaign to Staunton with that trophy.
I don't remember. I tell you what, there was a couple times that you don't realize how tired you are. I think on that bus trip I found out, I got home and then we had a thing out at the gym. And we had an hour or so before, and I came home, sat on the couch, and fell asleep, you know. And then, so I didn't have a chance to come up with a real good speech.
You just won the state tournament. Who needs a speech?
The speech is look at the trophy.
Yeah. Here, look at this.
Yeah.
Well, it was one of the most exciting things ever to happen. And Randy and Dave, you guys are great guys, and the Bulldogs were a terrific group of kids, and they still amaze me to this day. The state champions of Staunton in 1993, and I love watching going to that gymnasium and stepping in there and taking a look at that trophy. That's absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really.
I go out there, and I bring the little kids.
Yeah.
Used to when I was a guidance counselor. I'd make a class stop and come over and look at that.
Darn right.
I can remember one little kid looked up there and said, "Well, that guy looks like you." Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you.
Slight resemblance.
Yeah.
Who's the other guy, they said. I don't know who that is.
Well, guys, we're going to let you go here. We've got an interview with Barry Deist of Staunton, who's going to be getting enshrined into the Football Coaches Hall of Fame. We've got a pre-recorded interview with Barry we want to get to. But congratulations on 25 years of celebrating the state championship of 1993. And it's always a pleasure to talk with you guys.
Well,
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Terry.
Yeah, take care now. Randy Legender and Dave Lamour, two great guys, and I tell you what, when I've been part of a couple of reunions and stuff, and they're just terrific people. Awesome people. So
I still get goosebumps when I think about that. That was the first state tournament I ever went to, and you know, going watching little old Staunton play and win the whole thing. It's just unbelievable. It was just so awesome.
The Bulldoggies, that's right.
But it's so true, though, when you heard Dave talking about he was scouting the Hales-Franciscan-Cairo game, and that literally was the buzz around from Friday night through Saturday morning there. That was the buzz. This is the championship game. This is the state championship game. That was the hardest ticket you could get that day because that was the state championship game.
Yeah.
Until it wasn't.
Until it wasn't. So we need to get to a break. We'll be back with more sports Saturday right after these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you very much. Back here on Sports Saturday, and Terry, that was a fantastic conversation.
That was great, to talk to Randy and to Dave, and just think about 25 years ago, and the Bulldogs being the state champions, and just the interest it generated in the entire area.
It's our version of Hoosiers.
It is.
It really is. You figure they beat a Chicago school in the final.
Yeah.
You know, came out of nowhere. Yeah. They weren't state ranked.
Yeah.
You know, just.
They were a good basketball team and they played very well.
That's exactly
They didn't really change a whole lot of things. They just played Bulldog basketball.
They made the shots when they had to make the shots. Yeah. And if they replayed the tournament, they probably wouldn't win it again. But that's probably the case for a majority of the tournaments.
And that's the great thing about the single elimination tournament.
That's why it's great.
That's why, the NCAA tournament's great. You get one shot.
And
what have you done for me tonight? If you're going to advance, you'll survive in advance. And, it was a pleasure to talk to those guys. So.
I mean, if Jeremy May doesn't do what he did.
Oh, no.
At Eastern in the Super, none of this happened.
Yeah. And I believe the following year, they went to state in baseball. With some of those kids that were left over from the state basketball team. And Jeremy May was one of them. So
you think about a few years ago, of course, their football team went to state and that magical Cinderella type of run. And, they've had some ups and downs with their football program over the years, but they've had a lot of good times.
They've had a lot of good times. And part of the good times was under head coach Barry Deist. And he's what a great guy Barry is. And he was the head football coach for about 15 years at Staunton, and he has been elected to the Illinois High School Football Coaches Hall of Fame. And earlier this week, I had a chance to catch up with Barry Deist, the soon-to-be Hall of Famer. Well, I have a chance to catch up with Barry Deist, who's been inducted into the Illinois Football Coaches Hall of Fame. And Barry, congratulations, my friend. That is quite an honor.
Thank you very much. It is an honor. I really appreciate the Football Coaches Association and also the individual who nominated me, which I'm not sure who it is yet.
But you'll find out eventually.
Yes, I will.
Tell me, how did you find out about this, Barry?
In a letter. I got this letter from the Illinois Coaches Association. I thought, what's this?
Mm-hmm.
And I opened it up and I read it, and then I read it again. And then I had my wife read it, and I said, is that what they're saying here? And it was a surprise to me. So a pleasant surprise, by the way.
And I understand that you got a call from your buddy Bill Parmentier about that, too.
He called me and left the message. Bill Parmentier, been friends for a long time, and a coach against him when he was at Southwestern, and he's always been a gentleman. Forever. And then the years that he was here with his son coaching the line, we talk occasionally across the fence. And it's been a good relationship over the years.
Well, Barry, you coached from 1975 through, 89-90 season, I believe.
Yeah, that was my head coaching years. I started coaching in 67-68 as assistant to Fred Brenzel. And then when Fred left, I was assistant to Bob Cheedy.
Oh, your good buddy Bob Cheedy, who you officiated basketball with,
Yeah, we did a lot of officiating together, yes.
Yeah. Tell me about your experiences being a head coach.
Well, first, always thought that every kid should try out for football. Now, after his freshman year, if he didn't want to play more, that's fine. I just believed that. One of my approach to the game was like it was in the 60s and 70s, blocking and tackling. And now when I go and watch him block, I wonder, boy, if that, I was doing that when I was coaching, we'd get 15 yards every time our hands were on him. So one of the things to get kids out, get kids to love the game, to understand the game. And that was not a difficult thing, but some kids, you know, we've always said kids, the coaches live the game, and the coaches just play, I mean, the kids just play it. So, you know, you had to get them to dedicate themselves both on and off the field. And in some cases, that was difficult to do because kids have so many other things that they like to do.
And this was long before any sort of JFL or junior football type organizations ever came along.
Yes, it was. We didn't have any of the kids doing that. I'm a strict believer that the contact area shouldn't be started until the kid's 13, but what do I know?
I think during your tenure, you made the playoffs in, what, 77 or 78, somewhere in there?
In 77, we played Hamilton, up at Hamilton. And it was, of course, the rules were different back then. I had that 8-1 season that year. The following year, I had an 8-1 season, didn't go. And then I had 7-2s and 6-4s and so forth. But nowadays, all those would have got opportunity to play in the playoffs.
Basically, it was about winning the conference, wasn't it?
You had to win the conference, yes. Yeah. Our goal with one defeat, 8-1 usually got you in.
Back then, there were not eight different classes of football teams, which ended up being, what, 256 teams or whatever. There were far fewer teams to get in.
Yes, there was. And I'm so happy that they changed the rules and let a lot of these schools get in, some of them for the first time. And it's a big thrill in the community and in the school to see your kids go to a playoff game.
Barry, what was it like when Staunton went to the playoff game? Do you remember the emotion around town?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a year that after every game we would go Saturday morning and the entire team and coaches would run through Main Street.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they were standing shoulder to shoulder along Main Street. And then the fire department and the police department escorted it out of town. The kids were absolutely thrilled. And the student body was also with us 100%. Yeah, I've been retired now about 17 years, so I haven't been out there to witness what the kids are doing. I live right by the high school. I don't know if the kids have changed any. They still can get enthused about things, and I've met a bunch of high school kids, and they're tremendous kids. They really are.
You really had some great athletes come through when you were coaching as well.
I did. I had some good athletes, like the Yakuses and the Meckles and the Holocks and so forth. Yeah, I had some good kids.
Got to have the horses if you're going to run the race.
Absolutely. And you got to have the line. You know, sometimes I said to myself, I can put anybody in the backfield if those guys will block for them.
Barry, not only did you coach football, but I know you were also involved in coaching baseball at one time for Staunton.
Yeah, I coached baseball for approximately 23 years. And then my arm gave out, and I couldn't feel bad in practice anymore. So I decided to end it. Won the conference five times as a baseball coach, and was in the regional finals several times.
Of course, you were talking about a one-class system, too.
Yes, we were.
You know, it wouldn't be unusual to come up against an Edwardsville or a Highland or somebody like that.
Well, in, I forgot what year it was, we played Granite City and Springfield for the sectional championship and lost 4-3. So we did play pretty good baseball.
Well, Barry, it's good to catch up to you, my friend, and congratulations on your induction into the Football Coaches Hall of Fame. And I know it's a wonderful thing to have happen, and I certainly wish you the best of luck on down the line. And when's the When's the banquet and such coming up?
The banquet is April 7th at noon.
Right.
And I've already received a lot of my players have said, we're going to be there, coach.
There you go.
I said, what?
You may not realize it, but, you know, you made an impression on these guys a few years ago.
Yeah, I was at Home Depot the other day, and Al DeFries, my first tailback, run up to me and congratulated me and says, I'm going to be there. So I said, well, thanks, Al. I appreciate that. Something that's not expected. You know, I don't expect that to happen, but in certain cases it is.
Back then, your big rivals were Carlinville and Gillespie. And
Nokomis had an awful good ball club 1 year. Yeah, Carlinville and Gillespie, they were larger schools. We stayed around 313, 315. And my wife, who taught at Gillespie, I said, how big did Gillespie get at one time? She says, was in the 500s. And I know Carlinville approached 700 at one time. So not that it had any of the influence on the football team, but if you got more to pick from, you got more to do. Yeah. Andy Easton also and Don DeBrader were just outstanding coaches. I'm going to join them in the Hall of Fame.
An outstanding gentleman.
Yeah. Outstanding
yes.
gentleman. We just had Don's, I believe his 84th birthday, and his wife turned 80 at about the same time, and their 40th anniversary at the same time. So I got to catch up with Don quite a bit that night. It was a nice evening.
Well, it's good to know that Barry Dice belongs in there with Don DeBrino and Andy Easton.
Well, I'm very proud of that because they were outstanding coaches and good friends. Besides that, we were rivals on the field, but off the field we were good friends. And that's pretty neat. You can't say that all the time.
You know, the South Central was a pretty close-knit conference.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Okay. I remember we was playing Pittsfield back, and everybody was picking Pittsfield to beat us, and Andy Easton stood up and says, just wait a minute. Stone's going to win that ball game. I'll be damned if we didn't.
What people don't remember, Barry, is that Pittsfield had a tremendous program and a long, long winning streak before the playoffs ever came along.
Oh, yes, they did. They had a long, long line of victories.
Barry, congratulations again, my friend. It's good to catch up with you, and I hope you enjoy the banquet, and you certainly deserve being part of the Hall of Fame. So thank you.
Well, Terry, thank you. I appreciate the interview, and I appreciate the compliment. Thank you.
Barry Deist, good guy.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, and worked his butt off. I mean, he was a good, hardworking coach and could relate to kids and not only in football, but in baseball, and was a good athletic director, and just a good guy. I say all the time, one of the greatest parts of our jobs are meeting wonderful people, and Barry's one of those guys. So.
Dan Easterday called a few moments ago and wanted to send his congratulations out to Barry on the accomplishment of making the Hall of Fame. I thought it was very interesting. I don't know what day you recorded that.
Yeah.
But you heard Barry talk about they weren't into the JFL, and he wasn't a believer in that, and he doesn't think that kids should play football tackle until they're 13. And he said, what do I know? Well, maybe he knows a little bit more than he gives himself credit for, because Illinois this week had a bill move out of what's the word I'm looking for? With a group of
committee,
there you go. Moved out of committee that would eliminate tackle football for children under the age of 12. It's now moving to a full House vote, but it was just, I found it interesting that Barry mentioned that, not knowing that that piece of legislation was moving through. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that.
You know, and that becomes state law. That's not IHSA law. That's state law. So, could become state law.
Potentially.
So, I don't know. We'll see how that goes. And
I believe they're the first state. No state has passed any sort of legislation along those lines, and I believe Illinois is one of the first, or among a group of the first states that are starting to move this type of legislation through.
You know, this is going to be a long discussion.
Yes.
And we have so many people who are concerned about the kids and about safety, and football seems to get a lot of the coverage, but there are other sports that you know, are affected as well, where concussion protocols have to be put in place. And
I don't know about you, but I even now think about it differently in a basketball game when a kid hits his head off the floor.
Oh, yeah.
It has a totally different feel than it used to.
Yeah, you just wonder, you know, how hard did they hit, and you know, how's it going to affect them? Are they going to be allowed back in the ball game? Because, you know, you have a trainer there, they're going to take a look at the kid and say, well, concussion protocol won't allow me to let you back in the ball game. So, you know, there's a lot of cussing and discussing, yes, that's going to be going on concerning this sort of thing. And I think it, if this bill moves along, one of the additions to it might be other sports, yeah, other than just football.
Yeah, there's no way that gets passed just singly,
yeah,
football.
Yeah, yeah. I think that you're going to have to include all sports and you know, be specific about the protocols with concussions for all sports.
But it's certainly something to keep an eye on, yeah, in the state that
absolutely,
wheels are in motion, so, yeah, to speak, and things are happening.
Yeah. I want to thank Barry Dice for joining us today, and Randy Legender, Dave Lemoore. Kind of a Staunton flavor to the program today.
Well, hey, when you win the state 25 years ago,
oh, yeah,
you're a coach in the Football Hall of Fame. And,
well, yeah, you know, it was a good day for Staunton, you know. What the heck? And good guys, too. I mean, yes, just wonderful people, and, you know, it's a pleasure to have known them. So.
Absolutely. Cardinal baseball today.
Yeah. Cardinal baseball taking on Atlanta today. Houston tomorrow, 11:45, AM 1540, FM 106.9, where you can hear all the Cardinal broadcasts. And by the way, it's a good way to get your message out. If you want to be a sponsor, we still have some availabilities, so give us a call.
Tito, take us home.
All right. That's going to do it for Sports Saturday. Have a great sporting weekend. I think we're going to have some great weather outdoors, so take advantage of it. WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. It's 10 o'clock, and have a great sporting weekend.